So we're on Daf Mem Base on the Aleph. Comment that the Ran quotes from the Bahad on the first sugya over here on the Tapamim Beis Manala. The Gemara quotes Shmuel, says that we draw a distinction between the extinguishing of Gachelah Shematefes versus Sarabim and a Gachelah Shalates. So that let's say that there is an obstacle in the Rishu Sarabim in a public place and it could cause harm. I have a flaming coal that's in the middle of the public road. So Shmuel says that you can extinguish it if it's a gachela shel matzefes, but not if it's a gachela shalates. A gachela shalates is a extinguishing that would be a malacha araisa because it's a real flame. And matzefes, it's not a real flame. It's just a fiery coal of metal, but doesn't have a real flame to it. So therefore, that's considered to be a sitra rabban. The Gemara indicates that if Shmuel would have been of the opinion that malacha shenitzricha the gufa was potter, like Rabbi Shimon, then even extinguishing a gachelis shel eitz would be permissible because nobody's looking to use the charcoal. You're just looking to extinguish it so that you'll get rid of a public hazard that somebody could get hurt. It would also only be a shavuot, and it would only be also midravon, and that should be permissible as well. So since we happen to paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and malacha shein tzricha the gufa is not chayiv if it's potter, so in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that one would be allowed to extinguish either a gachela shematefes or a gachela shalates, with the assumption that it's an issa d'rabbanan, and we're not talking about sakanas nefashos. Obviously, if we would be talking about sakanas nefashos, then all of this would be also on a araisa level. So the Aruch HaShulchan, in our long discussion regarding whether fires can be put out on Shabbos, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this Gemara and says that even though in the Masechta we clearly say that one is not allowed to extinguish fires unless there's sakanas nefashos, unless people are actually going to die, he says that's only in their days when all the chatzeros opened up into the private courtyards. However, nowadays, where every single chatzer where people live, they live in places where pretty much every single chatzer doesn't open into kind of just a private neighborhood, but everybody is opened up into the public streets. Everyone is essentially opened up into the Rishu Sarabim, he claims. Therefore, based on this principle that since we hold that if you're not looking for the charcoals, it's all malacha shein tzricha the gufa, all the fire is eventually going to end up landing in various forms. The charcoal will produce coals, and the coals will end up on the street, and that will create a nezek karabim. So therefore, he says that this is a svara. He has other svaras, but he says that this is a svara as to why he thinks that it should be permissible to extinguish fires even if there's no immediate sakonas nefashos v'zman hazeh. So he utilizes this gemara in order to prove that point. Now, there is a chiddush that the Ran quotes in the name of the Halachas Gedolos, in which he says that really this entire distinction is not only a distinction between what's the asa d'araisa, and what's also midrabanan, but is a distinction as well between what is going to cause a genuine nezek harabim and what is not going to cause a genuine nezek harabim. So that's in Daf Yud Testament Beis and in Daf Bei Arif, quotes the Baal Halachas, his Rabbah, Baal Halachas, Hitirot, Abilu Yisur Daraisa. He permits even an Issa Daraisa, Mamakam Shehezek Harabim Matsoy, wherever there is a great possibility of Hezek Harabim, Shazal Kosev, the Hanan Palginan. That this distinction between a coal of eitz and matechis, not simply a deraisa derabanan distinction, it's a question of how big the sakana is in terms of the hezek harabim. The shel eitz, so people will be able to easily identify because they'll see that it's red. As long as the flame is still going, it has red. People will see it. So since they will see it, Plus, you can add to that that there's an issur d'oraisa. That's what the Gemara is essentially saying, according to the Rav. It's an issur d'oraisa in extinguishing it. Plus, there's no need to distinguish it for in order to prevent hezekarapin, because it's a big red light that everybody will see, so they'll stay away from it. They're not going to get harmed by it. About shamateches. But when we're dealing with the shamateches, apagap the azul sumka, low kavya, that you could still be going, but it doesn't have that red coloration. So therefore, people will not necessarily notice that it's there. It's like a landmine. People will know that to stay away from it, and that's why it's permissible to be mekabed, even if it would be asur midoraisa, asur letzukiba. So mashu the svirulei says the Ran, the Torah by week is sur doraisa. Both of them have an issur doraisa. It's just that the one case, the shaletz, has an issur doraisa where there's not really going to be a hesek harabim, because people will see the red and they'll be able to stay away from it if the flame is still going. And the other case, shel mateches. Even if there's an issur d'oraisa, or the other case of mateches, regardless whether issur d'oraisa or issur d'rabban, people will not be able to notice it. So even if there is an issur d'oraisa to extinguish it, nonetheless, it's people wouldn't know to stay away from it because it would still be going, even if it still has the even without a red coloration. So people won't know to stay away from it. So therefore, that's the reason why it's permissible to extinguish it. And that shita, the Bahag, is quoted by a number of shitos. It's not brought down. If you look in the way that this is codified in Shulchan Aruch, so it's not the shita, the Bahag, is not per se brought down. But it's mentioned occasionally by various poskim. So Shlomo Zalman Orpach, in his Mincha Shlomo, he talks about the question as to whether if a doctor goes to save a life, is he allowed to return on life on Shabbos on a life-saving mission, even if it means that he'll have to drive in a car or be over on an issur d'oraisa. So he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, who was Makel on this particular issue, and he takes a severe exception with the psak of Moshe Feinstein on this particular issue, but he acknowledges that from this shita of the Gaonim, the Halachas Gedolos quoted by the Ran, one would be able to make an argument. He said one could make an argument because over here we see that there, at least according to the way he's understanding the Gemara, if I had a Gacheles Shamateches, even if there would be an Isser D'Oraisa, nonetheless you would be allowed to extinguish it, and because the fact that there would be a Hesek Harabim. Because people wouldn't notice that the flame is still on. So he says, so why not tell the person who sees that there is this gachelis, whoever's going to extinguish it, obviously identify the gachelis, so why not just advise that person? He should stand over the gachelis and warn people. So he said, obviously we don't do that because it's a tremendous tircha. We don't want to be matriarch people. He's going to have to stand there for the entire Shabbos. He won't be able to go back to his family. He won't be able to spend time with them. He's going to be very debilitating to him that by virtue of the fact that he wanted to protect people, therefore he is burdened with the task of standing over this gacheles. It's as long as he's standing over it, it's not going to be pikuach nefesh. It's not going to be to put it out, since he'll be able to stand over it and warn everybody. So he says, so why is it that we don't require the person to do that? Because clearly that would discourage him from being involved in Hatzalas Nefashis in the future, because he'll see that it's a real burden to be involved in Hatzalas Nefashis. So one could have made the argument that by the same token, if the doctor who goes off on a life-saving emergency on Shabbos knows that we're not going to let him go back, unless he could just do it through violating Yisuri Durabanan, but if he'll have to violate an Issa D'Oraisa, we're not going to allow him to go back. So then maybe that one could argue, based on the same Svara, if you assume like the Halachas Gedolos, that he would be discouraged from being engaged in similar life-saving endeavors in the future, and therefore you should be allowing him to be over an Issa D'Oraisa and even drive back and so forth. So he says that the analogy is not correct, because in the case of the gacheles, when you have him extinguish the gacheles shel mateches, so he's actually doing something which is preventing an ezek harabim, a potential sakanas nefashos. In fact, the Ramban has the language on this Gemara. The Ramban says that it's possible that maybe Shmuel is of the opinion that whenever I have the potential for niskei rapim, that's equivalent to sakanas nefashos, it could arise. to the point of Sakanas Nefasha. So he's involved in an actual Maise, which is preventing the Nezek Kalavim and the potential Sakanas Nefashas. However, to allow a side is a deraisa to be violated, to allow a person after they've already been involved in the Hatzalah, to allow them, because they can't find, say, a non-Jewish driver, to drive back on their own. So that has nothing to do with preventing the Nesek HaRavim. That Maise of Issur D'oraisa is not directly correlated to saving the Rabim from some sort of a Nesek. It's after the fact. So therefore, even from this Gemara, even though he points out that one could have perhaps utilized this Gemara to argue the point, he thinks that it is not an appropriate analogy and therefore would not provide justification for the doctor returning from the life-saving mission to be over in our minister de Araisa in order to return home. I think that's a Mincha Shlomo, what I say, Simen Ches, I think, in the Tshuvas of the Mincha Shlomo. Okay, so those are two interesting halakhic discussions that arise out of the Gemara at the top of Membe Samanala. But most of what we're talking about is in the realm of Bishul B'Shabbos, so let's talk a little bit about that. So there's a very important, famous Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis Siman Aleph that talks about Ilpas Vekedeva. I have pots that were stewing on the fire. Shevivir Meroskin, and now you take them off the fire. Lo Yitain the Sochan Tavlin, so you can't put spices in them, even though they're off the fire. So this is the halacha of Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. We have one halacha of Kli Rishon, which is on top of a fire, and then this Kli Rishon that's not on top of a fire. So the Mishnah says very clearly that just like there's a problem of Bishul, if you're going to put, say, uncooked spices into a pot, a boiling pot on top of a fire, so too there's a problem of Bishul if you're going to put spices to a boiling pot not on top of the fire. So that's the halacha of Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon, Agabe Ha'esh, I have all kinds of other halakhic issues, such as Shehiyah and Hachzara. I have Isuri Drabanan, but I have it, but even when I don't have the problem of Shehiyah and Hachzara, because the Kli Rishon is Shelo Agabe Ha'esh, I still have a problem with Bishul. I have a problem that things could actually get cooked, so I have something which is uncooked, and that I'm not allowed to put it in a Kli Rishon, even though it's Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. About No senhu the socha ka'ara the socha tamplay. But if I then pour out the contents of that Kli Rishon into a plate, into another pot, that separate pot is going to be what? It's going to be a Kli Sheni. It's going to be a secondary vessel. This is a vessel that was never on top of the fire to begin with. So then I am allowed to put uncooked spices into that ka'ara or that tamplay. And then the Gemara has a dispute about whether you could really put anything inside this klisheni vessel, or maybe there are certain things that you can't put in. And the example that's given is salt. Sabar Rav Yosef lemeimar melech hareyu ketavlin. Rav Yosef thought that maybe salt is treated like these undefined spices. We don't know what these tavlin are. What are these tavlin? I don't know. So Rav Yosef says that Rav Yosef thought salt is like these spices, the Kli Rishon Bashala, Kli Sheni Lo Bashala, that in a Kli Rishon it would be a problem of Bishul, but if you put it into a Kli Sheni, I had a stew on the fire and I took it off the fire, now I poured the contents into a plate or into a serving plate, and now I wanted to sprinkle the salt on top of the serving bowl, which is a Kli Sheni, so he thought that would be okay. So Amalei Abaye, Tani Rabbi Yechia Melech Eina Ketavlin. So Abaye said, but Rabbi Yechia said that a Kli Sheni, that salt is not like the other spices. What do you mean it's not like the other spices? Is that Lekula or Lechuma? So he understood that it's Lechuma, the Kli Sheni, not Mishala, that it's going to get cooked even in a Kli Sheni. Upliga Drav Nachman, the Amar Nachman, Tzvika Milcha Bishula Kibisra Detur. And he argued with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was of the opinion salt doesn't get cooked so easily, and therefore you would be allowed to put in a Kli Sheni. And the Ikka de Amri here in the Gemara goes so far as to say that because of the fact that Rav Nachman says Tzricha Bilcha Bishula Kibisra the Tura, that requires so much cooking like a shore, that it doesn't get cooked so easily, therefore you would be allowed to even put it in a Kli Rishon. So that we see that in certain cases, if you put something in a Kli Rishon, at least it's Shelo Agabe Ha'esh, It's not, that's what Rashi says, that nobody suggests that you could put the salt in the pot when it's still al-gabi ya'esh, but at least when it's shalom al-gabi ya'esh, and then certain types of substances maybe can even be put in into a kli rishon. So the Mechaber actually paskins like the Lishna Basra, that you would be allowed to put salt in a kli rishon shelo agabe ha'esh because it doesn't get cooked so readily. And the Rama says that it's appropriate to be machler. There are those who are machler who learn like that we should paskin like the Lishna, like the first Lashon, like the Lishna Kama, that you should not put salt in a kli rishon shogabe ha'esh, shelo agabe ha'esh. And not only that, but you shouldn't even put salt in a kli sheni, that salt is something which could even get cooked in a kli sheni, which is a big chumrah. So where do we see that we would ever be so machmir not to allow you to put something into a kli sheni? So that we know from the Mishnah later on. As the Mishnah, even though the chayva kli sheni ain't no mevasha, but the Mishnah later on, Daf Kuf Mem Hei, says that there are certain types of substances that are what we call the kale gabishal. They get cooked very, very easily if they were previously not cooked. So even if you put them in a kli sheni, that would be a problem on Shabbos. As the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei on the base, which says that kol shelo babu chamin me'erev Shabbos, that which was not previously cooked before Shabbos, madikon also b'chamin b'Shabbos. You can pour hot water on it. On Shabbos. Whereas when you can pour hot water on Shabbos, it means that you're allowed to put it into a you're allowed to put it into a cliche. And we say madikon also b'chamin. So we generally assume that what this means is that you could do this as Tosfos, you had in the previous day. Tosfos says that we assume that we're not talking about Iroi Mikli Rishon. Iroi Mikli Rishon is there's a major machlokis as to whether Iroi Mikli Rishon is treated like a Kli Rishon or not treated like a Kli Rishon. So Tosfos here on our top, and Beis Amud Beis, has several opinions about how we would treat Iroi Mikli Rishon. One opinion is that Iroi is considered to be a Iroi is Kli Sheni. That's a Rabbeinu Shmuel. The second opinion that he quotes is the Ri, who says that Iroi is Kli Rishon. If you're pouring from a Kli Rishon, that's just as bad as a Kli Rishon itself. And then he comes up with the third sort of conventional opinion, which is that it is, says that if you're near the Iroi, lo habik a Kli Rishon, lo Kli Sheni, you're both wrong. It's neither a kli rishon nor is it a kli sheni, but it's mebashel kadei klipa. It cooks a little bit. If you have something which was uncooked, I have some tea leaves or something, and I want to pour hot water from a fire, I take the hot water off the fire, it's a kli rishon, shelo agabe esh, and I want to pour on top of tea leaves, so that's going to be a problem because you're going to be mebashel a little bit. The upper layer, you're going to be mebashel. You pour on a baby bottle, so it won't be a problem because the top layer would be the bottle, and then the water inside, though the milk inside, is not going to be considered to be cooked. But if you are pouring upon a food which doesn't have a bottle surrounding it, so the kadei klipa would include the food or the substance itself which is being cooked, so that's going to be a problem. Halacha lemaaseh. That's why we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that the pouring from the kli rishon is going to be, in most cases, as problematic as the kli rishon itself. So when we say madikon, we generally mean that when are you allowed to pour? Now, you're not pouring from a kli rishon, you can pour from a kli sheni. Just like you can pour from a kli sheni, so too the item is allowed to be immersed in a kli sheni. They would have essentially the same din. But there are two exceptions to the rule that are listed in the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis. The two exceptions, sachutz min hamaliach hayashan, the exception of a very salty aged fish, which apparently can be cooked very, very quickly. Bekuyas ha'ispanin and Spanish mackerel, which can also be cooked very quickly. So if any of you, you know, are interested in eating hot Spanish mackerel, you have to be very careful. You can't even immerse them into a kli sheni on Shabbos. Shedchas and zuhi gemar melachta, because this would complete the job. So we see that there are certain things that are considered to be kalei habishul. So the big question that the poskim struggle with, so therefore that's the explains the discussion regarding the salt. Salt might be, according to one version, the Lishna Kama, salt might be considered to be in the realm of Kali Abishal, in which case you wouldn't even be allowed to sprinkle salt into a kli sheni. And there's a whole question as to how do we know which things are Kali Abisha and which things aren't. So there are certain things that the Gemara says explicitly that you're allowed to put into a klisheni. It says explicitly you can pour cold water into hot water that's a klisheni. That's a discussion that we have with Beis Hillel. Adach Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that's the Gemara after the Gemara about the Tacheles Shaleitz. That no saying veisulom in ben chamel tochasonim in sonon tochacham in mutter. You're allowed to permit the roim amuim because that if I have a kos, I have a klisheni, so I'm allowed to pour cold water into hot water that's in a klisheni. That's something which we know is permissible. Water pouring into a klisheni, we know explicitly from the Gemara is permissible. We had daf mem, we had the story on daf mem amid base, right? The Rav Yitzchak by Rav Dimi, he went into Rebbe the base of Merchatz and. He wanted to put a pak shel shemen. He wanted to put a little flask of oil. I guess it was Hanukkah time. He wanted to find to put a flask of oil into a bati, into a hot bath. So he said, no, you got to put it only into a klisheni. So we see that water is okay. We see that oil is okay. So we see certain things are okay. Water and oil are okay. And we see that certain things, old salty fish and Spanish mackerel are not okay. And we see the salt is a question. So... in general, the recommendation that's given by most contemporary poskim, is that you should err on the side of caution. We're talking about Suffolk, Isser, Malacha on Shabbos, and Isser Shabbos, either Daraisa or Darabanan. Certainly when we talk about Bishul, so we have to be worried about the fact that you might be over in Issa Bishul and Shabbos. So therefore, that they recommend that if it's not one of the items that's explicitly spelled out in the Gemara that is permissible in a klisheni, then you have to be worried. What's considered to be tavlin? We said explicitly you could put tavlin. A tavlin aren't any old tavlin. Some say that the tavlin of the... that the Gemara was talking about were hard objects. They were hard objects. They were used as spices, like they weren't cinnamon sticks, things of that variety. So that would be tablet. So cinnamon sticks would be okay. You can put a cinnamon stick in a klisheni. That pretty much everybody agrees to. But if you have like the types of spices that are these grainy, you know, tiny little things, if they haven't been pre-cooked, some spices have been pre-cooked, you're in better shape. But if they haven't been pre-cooked, then you'd have to be much more circumspect about sprinkling them even into a klisheni on Shabbos. Now, many of the spices, including salt, nowadays have been pre-cooked. So if I had pre-cooked salt, I think that generally speaking, the salt that is purchased nowadays in the stores, you have to double-check. I think generally they have been pre-cooked. Since they have been pre-cooked, so they're in a much, much better shape. We're talking about things that were low baba chamim b'pnei HaShabbos, that weren't cooked before Shabbos. If I have salt that was pre-cooked, so then for sure everybody agrees that should be treated as a... it should be okay if you put that into a klisheni. If you put that into a kli rishon, there might be a chumma if you're looking for one, that we hold that yesh bishol acha bishol. It's not clear whether it's mi'ikra din or mi'chumma. The Ramah says you have to be makbe the yesh bishol acha bishol when it comes to double lach. If I have something that was moist, it's a beverage, it was a drink, it was a liquid. So I have something that was a liquid that was heated up and now it's nitzdani legamri and now it's cooled off entirely. So we are machmir that you can't heat it up again. You can't cook it again on Shabbos. So is that a chumma or is that a meyikar adin? So that's a question, whether it's a mechumma or meyikar adin. But it's since we're machmir, that we don't heat up liquids that were previously cooked on Shabbos. So some say if I have an item that was cooked and it subsequently now essentially dissolves into liquid, so it's treated as a liquid, even if it was a solid that was previously cooked, because I have like, you know, grains of these granules coffee powder or something like that was previously cooked, and I put it in a liquid, so I treat it as a liquid, and therefore that's considered to be bishul acha bishul b'davar lach, and which you can't do on Shabbos. But because it's a machlokis, so the hachra that's brought down, Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, I believe has this hachra, is that it depends upon whether you're doing that in a kli rishon or in a kli sheni. So since in a kli sheni anyway, there's a whole question as to which types of things are kali abishol that are considered to be problematic if you put into a klisheni. So, and there's a question as to whether bishul chavishul, you know, applies to this type of a pre-cooked item, which is essentially a salad, but now it's being dissolved into a liquid. So, b'siruf, the two sfeikos, so you could be makel if you're putting something like coffee powder, for example, into a kli sheni. So that would be less problematic. But if I have something which was not previously cooked and was mekali a bishul, so many say on that basis that you can't even put, say, a tea bag. I mentioned you can't pour hot water onto a tea bag, that's for sure, because you would clip me klivisha and zavashu de klipa. What about putting a tea bag in a klisheni? So that also could be problematic, because maybe it's mekali a bishul. The Chayodom says also that if something is extremely hot, that is yanich base, that it's scalding. And this is based on a Rambam with respect to Hilchos Maestros that he carries over to Hilchos Shabbos. It's a very controversial Chayyodim. The Chayyodim says that whenever I have scaldings, so everybody agrees that there could even be Bishul and the Klisheni. It's a question. Can be carried over beyond the Klisheni is a question. So if I have really, really extremely hot water, so then for sure that could be problematic if I'm going to be putting something that was not the Mavushal at all beforehand, like a tea bag. I'm going to be putting it into a klisheni. So I many a machmir to go into a klishlishi, and some say even a klishlishi if it's yad nechveh, so it would be problematic. That's already a question, how much more machmir you have to be beyond the realm of a klisheni. Yes?
The sheet of the
peyadim
has the
yad
nechveh that's hotter than
yad soledis bo? Yeah, yad nechveh is hotter than yad soledis bo. Yad soledis bo is not nechveh. It's not scalding. It's not hot at all. It's very manageable. If I knew that the temperature of the water ahead of time, it's like when I take a shower. I could take a yad soledis shower. I just need to be prepared for the heat of the water. But I can handle the heat of the water. It's not going to be scalding. Yad soledis, this means that if I didn't know that the water was so hot, then I touch it, so I'm going to immediately retract from the water. That's the pshat in yad soledis.
The Gemara said kreso shaltino.
Kreso shaltino.
So that's more sensitive than the
yad. Yeah, kreso shaltino is definitely much more sensitive. Of course. It's a pasuk in Iyov, asalda v'cheila, that you're gonna, suddenly retract. That's a Rashi quote in Daf Mem Amud Beis. You go the pasuk in Iyov that describes kind of the basis for Yad Soledis, that you didn't expect it, and then suddenly you have to recoil because you didn't expect that it was going to be this hot. So what heat are people, if they weren't prepared for it, going to recoil? And that's the whole big machlokas. Is it 110 degrees? Is it 120 degrees? Is it 160 degrees? So for Hilchos Shabbos, we're up in Machmir for the lowest temperature range, which is approximately 110 degrees. I think Kashrus agencies generally assume that it's around 120 degrees, but it's not a ridiculously high temperature. Yad Nechveh is a much higher, much less bearable temperature, where a person just would recoil entirely. So there's a whole discussion as to why it is that we're more makel with respect to klisheni. Sometimes, you can say achush machish when you say klisheni. Generally, it's not mevashel. What do you mean klisheni? I know mevashel. If you Rashi has this lashon, the first Rashi in Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Rashi says it very clearly. You see, about nosen ulasoch hakara. So that's what we said, that you can you can put the tablin into the ka'ara, the klisheni, and Rashi says the klisheni ain't no mebashel. It's a general rule, klisheni ain't no mebashel. So what do you mean? Very often a klisheni is just as hot as a klivishon. In fact, you can have situations where a klisheni, if you poured from a klivishon, from a fire, and you took it off the fire, and you poured it into the klisheni, so very often the klisheni is going to be much hotter. The contents of the klisheni, you have the stew, you have the hot water, that the meat that was put into the klisheni is often going to be much hotter than a kli rishon that was removed from the eish and is now 3 minutes later. Now, if the kli rishon already cooled off to the point where it's not yet soledis bo, then you don't have to worry anymore. You can put things inside. It's not like we say it's going to be us or the entire Shabbos to put anything inside. You took it out 10 hours, earlier on Friday night, and now everything is cold. Of course, you could put things inside the kli rishon shalo agav eish. But as long as it's still yet soledis, you can't put things inside. So sometimes, yeah, it'll be 100 and you'll have a Kli Rishon Shlo Agav Yesh that's 160 degrees hot, then you'll have a Kli Sheni that's 200 degrees hot. So why is Kli Sheni automatically treated more generously than a Kli Rishon Shlo Agav Yesh? So for this, there's a whole lumbus. There are many different, you know, shitos that explain this. Yerushalmi says that Kli Rishon, that the Vishal B'Shabbos really is only with respect to Kli Rishon Shal Gabi Yesh. Shlo Agav Yesh, so it's already kind of a Drabbanan already. So a Kli Sheni is like a Drabbanan of Drabbanan. Others say that it's a question of Avin Tolada. Eglei Tal, I think, has this, that Kli Rishon Shal Gabi Yesh is an Av. Kli Rishon Shlo Agav Yesh is a Tolda, and Vishal, it's also Midoraisa, but it's only a Tolda. And if it's a Kli Sheni, so it was never even Agav Yesh to begin with. It's like a Tolada, the Tolada, and therefore that's, you know, less Chomer. So Tosfos gives an explanation. Tosfos, Tosfos gave an explanation as to why it is that Kli Sheni is considered to be more more Kal. And Tosfos explains that the reason is because you have Devanos Mikaros, because unlike the Kli, unlike the Kli Risha, which had been Agabi Aish, where it had the hot walls that were heated up by the fire, and therefore those walls still retain a certain amount of heat. When you're dealing with a Kli Sheni, so a Kli Sheni, even if the contents that are inside are actually very hot, that's not the only characteristic of Bishul. You also have to reckon with the walls, since the walls, whenever Agabi Aish, and they're going to gradually cool down the food that is inside, therefore, since it's in the process of holechu miskarer, that it is gradually cooling down the contents, that's the reason why a Kli Sheni is more kal than a Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. So based on that distinction of Tosfos, some say, and this is also based on a Maharshal, albeit the Maharshal is more applicable to the Maharshal, was stated in Hilchot in Yoredeya with respect to Hilchot with respect to Issur Beheter, not with respect to Hilchos Shabbos, but the Maharshal basically says that according to this Sevara, we should draw a distinction between whether what was the contents that are poured into a Kli Sheni or a liquid, where the liquids are going to be cooled down by the walls, or whether you're basically putting in a solid. If I have a hot flaming piece of meat and I put it on a plate, I don't have the funos miscaros. I don't have walls that are cooling down the contents of the meat. They're not touching walls. They're just sitting on another container. They're sitting on a Kli Sheni, but the meat itself is not surrounded by the walls of the vessel, and therefore they're not going to cool down quite as quick. So maybe with a dove of gush, you would have to be machmir, even with respect to putting in tavlin, with putting in spices, even into a Kli Sheni. So this seems to be alluded to by the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simen Shin Yud Ches, the last sip of Simen Shin Yud Ches. Says also the Machaber quotes from the Kobo, says also latuach shem and mishuma latzli beodo kenegin amedua, that if I have oil or garlic, you're not allowed to put it next to a fire to the extent that it's going to get hot. Afilu nitzle latzli mi beoyom the kol makom yispasha lashum beashemen, that the shum and the shemen are going to get hot. So on this particular statement of the Shulchan Aruch, what's important is what the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Magen Avram. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Magen Avram he says, "La daka do din mabes hashput shetachov lo betzli me'aish." This is even, when he talked to us, it's tzli. What's the tzli? The roasted meat. We're talking about roasted meat. So he says, even if the roasted meat is not on the fire itself, kol zman shiroseach, as long as the roasted meat is still boiling, shehayat seledes bo, asur latuach alav, you're still not allowed to put the oil. Remember we said oil is the type of thing that's not cooked in a Kli Sheni. So you wouldn't normally have a problem with oil. He says, no, but with the dava gush, if it's a hot piece of meat, Magen Avraham quotes based on this Maharshal, that you would be prohibited from putting the oil on this hot flaming piece of meat, despite the fact that you have removed it from the fire and you put it on a separate plate. Even if you put it on a separate plate, shuklisheni, which is a klisheni, gamkin aser. The hakama poskim sovim, the dover gush, the many poskim hold that if it's a dover gush, it's a sal, koshman shel yatzoledes bo, filu b'klisheni mebashel, that as long as it's yatzoledes bo, since we don't have this sevara of the furnace of Mekaros, as that even when it would be in a klisheni, it would still be problematic, even with oil, even with something which everybody agrees that you would normally be allowed to put into a klisheni. However, he does, but there are others who disagree and say that this chumrah might apply only in the realm, according to the Maharshal, might apply only in the realm of Issa v'Heter, but not necessarily in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. So the final line of the Mishnah Berurah is that when we call makom b'di'evid, if it already happened, b'di'evid, in lesser kishumunach b'klisheni, that if it already happened, b'di'evid, you shouldn't, you can't prohibit it if the oil was sprinkled on the meat. If it was already in a klisheni, the samchinan, because at least b'di'evid, we would be somech ala poskim, the klisheni, enu mevashel b'chol gavni. The klisheni is not mevashel under any circumstances, maybe based on the other svaros that we mentioned, maybe even the banos mekaros, would still be somewhat applicable to this type of situation, or maybe even the Maharshal himself did not intend to apply his svaro to Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. Yeah.
Road. You mean that the walls
themselves, the walls cool it down. The walls, because the walls never got hot.